Hello, everyone. So glad that you could be here to see the church in action. Have you ever wanted to share your faith with someone, but just couldn't get up the nerve? Like, maybe you were afraid of how it might affect your relationship with that person, or maybe you were afraid that they would think you were weird because of it, or maybe you just felt a little bit scared to share the gospel. No, I've been there before. I can think of a couple of times when I've thought, oh, I really want to share the gospel with this person, but then at the last minute, I chicken out. And I don't feel great about that, because as Paul says in Philippians 3, there is nothing that compares to the joy of knowing Christ Jesus, and the stakes are eternal here. Where do we get the boldness that we need to share our faith with other people? That's the question that's at the heart of the passage that we're going to look at today, Acts 4, 23 through 31. Now, just before Acts 4:23 to 31, something really incredible happens. Peter and John are on their way up to the temple to pray, right? Early church devoted to prayer. When they come across a beggar who is asking them for money, Peter says, look, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I will give to you. And so he takes the man's hand and he says, in the name of Jesus, walk. And up onto his feet, this man who had been lame for 40 years could now walk. You know, the people who were crowded around were absolutely astonished. And so Peter said, listen, people, this is the power of God at work. You know the Old Testament, all the promises that God has made. Those promises have been fulfilled in Jesus. And now when you turn from sin to follow him, God's incredible power goes to work in your heart and your life too. Now that's good news, right? And a lot of people came to faith because of it. But the religious elite in Jerusalem were not so impressed. And so they had Peter and John arrested. They couldn't very well do anything about it, though, to punish them, because, I mean, what were they going to do? Punish them for healing a man miraculously and then pointing people to God? So Peter took the opportunity to preach to the leaders, and then they ultimately kicked them out with some empty threats. And what happens next is where I want to focus. Acts 4:23 says Peter and John went back to their own people and shared with them everything that had happened to them. And you know what they did next? They didn't pack up their bags and get it a dodge. They didn't start to plot revenge. They didn't start a petition on change.org. Verse 25, they raised their voices in prayer to God. And here's what they prayed. They prayed, Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in it. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather against the Lord and his anointed one. They're quoting Psalm 2 directly there. Indeed, verse 27, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. They didn't pray that God would annihilate their enemies. They didn't pray that God would relieve their suffering. They said, God, give us boldness to speak your word to people who need to hear it. That's really fascinating and something that we desperately need to hear. Because I think that if we boil down a lot of our prayers, they amount to, Lord, make my life better. But here, the disciples are praying, God, give us boldness to represent you to the world. That's a big difference, isn't it? And it's good. It makes sense for us to pray for our daily bread, that God would deliver us from evil. Those are clearly things that Jesus taught us to pray. But we need to be sure that we are just as actively praying, God, let your kingdom come. And I think the disciples are willing to pray that because they have this unshakable confidence that God's will should and will prevail. Because look back again at their prayer. They pray, Sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth and all that's in them. They're saying, God, there is no one bigger and stronger than you. They are implicitly acknowledging that God is in control. Sovereign Lord, they say, people have always resisted you. Right? That was the point of Psalm 2. Go read Psalm 2 if you want to dig a little deeper. That's certainly the whole trend of the Old Testament, both God's people and the nations resisting God. Certainly that's what happened with Jesus. They resisted God. But, Sovereign Lord, people have always resisted you. However, you work even through their resistance. Right? Herod and Pilate and the people, they all freely chose to murder Jesus. And yet, look at verse 28. They did in your power what you decided should happen beforehand. Nothing happens outside of the will of God. And even things that appear to be evil can advance God's kingdom. So they continue praying, Sovereign Lord, people have always resisted you, and yet you work through their resistance, and they're doing it again. Right? The religious elite are trying to shut you down by shutting us down. Well then, Sovereign Lord, creator of all things, who has always been resisted, but works through resistance, they're resisting you again, so give us boldness. Lord, consider their threats and enable us to speak your word with great confidence and great boldness. Peter and the church are not saying, God, help us to drum up boldness from within our own being. But they're saying, God, because you are sovereign and because you have always been resisted and yet worked through that resistance and we're being resisted again, Lord, let your sovereign power create in us boldness. They literally say, God, give us boldness. Give us boldness in light of who you are. And then, and this is important, verse 30, stretch out your hand, God, to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They recognize the extent of their own work in this project, right? God gives us boldness to share the good news. But then it's God's job to actually do the miraculous work of humbling people, to acknowledge their sin, to turn to God for help. You know, I think that sometimes we are reluctant, we hesitate to share the gospel because we feel as though we, in our own strength, have to convince people to come to faith. But this teaches us, no, that's not how it works. God gives us boldness to plant a seed. And then we pray knowing that God gives the growth. We go to God for boldness and then pray that he would work. That's this prayer. They say, God, make us bold so we can represent you to the world. And then God, you do the work of bringing something good from it. Right? We depend upon you to do the rest. And we know from verse 31 that God answered that prayer after they prayed. It says the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And indeed, we know from the rest of the book of Acts that they continued to speak the word boldly. You know, I think that this is an important message for us to hear. Even if we're not facing persecution, we still need boldness to share the gospel. Where does that boldness come from? It comes from the good and sovereign God who is at work even in the most difficult of circumstances, even in resistance. We go to God to make us bold, and then we pray that he would do the rest of the work. I want to encourage you to do that in your own life. Go to the sovereign God. Let your understanding of who he is move your heart pray indeed, God, give me your boldness. Recognize that God is the God for whom nothing is impossible. Pray that you would be filled with his boldness and then have the peace to rest in him for him to do his part. Let's pray. God, we pray for boldness. We are recipients, we are messengers of a good, a life-changing, life-saving message. Jesus, there is none like you. You freely forgive us, give us life and purpose and hope for eternity. God, I pray that you would help us to let people know about that. God, prevent fear and reluctance from keeping us, keeping the word to ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would move in us to give us great confidence in you, to go, to plant the seed, and then to trust you, sovereign maker of heaven and earth, to bring new life where people have resisted you. Lord, we pray that you would make us bold and give us joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here, folks. So glad you could join me today. Stay safe, trust in God, and remember prayer and precaution, not panic.